Hello, friends. This episode is sponsored by Farm of the Child. Honduras is one of the poorest and least developed nations in Latin America. Poverty and hunger prevail, leading to drug trafficking and intimidation, disease, crime, and complex trauma. As a result, many families often dissolve, leaving children vulnerable to neglect, abuse, or abandonment. The response of Farm of the Child has been to provide Catholic homes modeled after the Holy Family for neglected, abused, and abandoned children in Trujillo, Honduras, since 1996. Together with a team of Honduran clinical staff, teachers and caregivers, Franciscan sisters, and international missionaries, the Farm of the Child provides a place of healing and hope for those most in need. This includes homes for 20-plus children, education for 120, and medical care for 1,500 people yearly. Each year, the Farm of the Child attracts dedicated missionaries who make a 2-year commitment of service. Missionaries come from all different walks of life in order to serve in a variety of functions such as teaching, nursing, project management, and community outreach. After spending 6 weeks in Antigua, Guatemala, learning Spanish, missionaries travel to the children's home where they live together and are guided by the 4 pillars of community, spirituality, simplicity, and service. Applications for the 2024 missionary class are being accepted through the end of April. There's a place for everyone to join in this mission through prayer, advocacy, international service, and more. To learn more about how you can get involved with Farm of the Child's mission, go to farmofthechild.org. Reach out now and mention this podcast to receive a free bumper sticker and begin your journey with this mission of love. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Abiding Together podcast. And we are delighted to be with you on this adventure. And I know that the Lord is going to do wonderful things in all of our hearts. The Abiding Together podcast is a place where you can find connection, rest, and encouragement on your journey with Jesus Christ. And wherever you find yourself in the world, wherever you find yourself in your life, you are most welcome here. And we know that the Lord will speak to you. My name is Sister Miriam James Heidland, and every week I am joined by two of my very dearest friends, Heather Kim and Michelle Benzinger. And we speak about what the Lord is doing in our life. We speak about our sorrowful mysteries, our joyful mysteries, and how the Lord is leading us in it all. And you are most welcome right here, right here. So please grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and welcome home. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Abiding Together podcast. It is Easter. Happy Easter, Heather and Michelle.
Happy Easter.
Finally.
Because we're still celebrating it. That's what's really happening.
And that's my favorite thing is that we like fast for 40 days and then we feast for 50 days, like all the way to Pentecost. I'm like, the church just knows how to do this right. I love this. Yeah, it's so much fun.
It does. Don't be thrown out that Easter tree. You got to keep it until Pentecost, you know? So,
hey.
Your Easter tree?
Your Easter tree. Like, you know, the Christmas tree, people throw out the Christmas tree. Don't throw out your Easter tree. Get that thing back in here.
That's so funny. How was your Easter, sister? What was it like?
It was very lovely. The Triduum was very beautiful. And just the Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday was just lovely. And then we did a beautiful, just deciding to decorate our house with a whole bunch of flowers, a beautiful chapel. Everything was just so floral, which is so pretty. And then we had a brunch and hung out with friends and been having a lot of people over visiting. So it's just been very delightful. So yeah, and it still continues. So what about you guys, Heather? How was your Easter? You were at the Steubenville, weren't you?
Yes, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was a mix of like it had quiet moments when it needed to be quiet. Mm-hmm. The celebrations, the liturgical celebrations were just stunning. I loved all of it, every aspect of it. And then we had a beautiful Easter brunch at one of the young staffers' house, and that was great. And then a bunch of students over, like our table was just packed. Love that. Had some great time with Father Dave, the president there. So it was just wonderful. Good family time all the way around. That was lovely. Yeah. How about you, Michelle?
Yeah, ours was great. It was a simple triduum, but it was really good. We did not do the veneration of the cross service on Friday. We instead did outdoor stations of the cross. And they were actually, they were from McGrath Institute, Notre Dame, and they were stations of the cross for families. And it's like when you've heard each other in families, and they were really good. And we totally didn't plan them before we went. We're like, stations of the cross for families. That's what I Googled. Like, literally, that's what I Googled as, you know, we were getting out the door. And I found these. I will post them just for a later reference. But they were really, really good. And then Easter Sunday was great. Y'all, my baby is 15. Like, my youngest is 15. And they still wanted an Easter egg hunt. So here I am stuffing jelly beans.
Never too old.
Saturday night, mm-hmm. stuffing jelly beans. I'm all about the Easter baskets. I make really great Easter baskets, but I'm like putting, like they wanted the hunt. Like, so I'm like putting little jelly beans in, you know, all things. And then, yeah, it was really good. And then we just had a really great brunch with friends out on the beach, the O'Grady's. They were great. And it was beautiful weather here in Florida. So, I mean, we have the beach for Easter.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's great. I made my first ever Easter candy charcuterie board. It was excellent.
Really? Here. Do you have a picture of it?
Yes. And on there, Starburst jelly beans. For the first time ever, Michelle, I tried your favorite Starburst jelly beans.
You texted me and told me. You're like, I had Starburst.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, of course. They have all the artificial stuff you don't have in your country. Like, they're all full of dyes and preservatives. Awesome. And now you're going to live forever because you've had Starburst jelly beans, you know, with all the preservatives. Yeah. All good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, we thought what we would do this week is talk about one of the homilies of Pope Francis over the Triduum and his homily for Holy Saturday. And we did this a couple years ago, too. And maybe it was last year. We were trying to decide. I can't remember when it was. But he just some really great homilies that are concise. They're just very beautiful. And I think they really ask some great questions based on the narrative of the scripture at that time. So this is, like I said, Holy Saturday homily, and you can find this on the Vatican website. It's pretty easy to find. We'll include a link in there for you too. But the gospel passage we're going to include today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse 4. And it's talking about the women who go to the tomb, and it says, when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And then the Holy Father says, dear brothers and sisters, let us stop and reflect on these two moments, which bring us to the unexpected joy of Easter. At first, the women anxiously wonder, who will roll away the stone from the tomb? And then at a second moment, looking up, they see that it had already been rolled back. And so, Michelle, for you, what kind of struck you in this homily? We're going to talk obviously about it, but what struck you in the homily as we begin here?
First of all, I just love the homily. Like, I've been sitting with it for the last couple of days, and then I've been thinking, like, Pope Francis, get out of my journal. Like, seriously, like, stop reading my stuff. But I mean, like, even in the first beginning lines, the women go to the tomb at daybreak, yet they still feel the darkness of the night. They continue to walk, yet their hearts remain at the foot of the cross. But this line, the tears of Good Friday are not yet dried. They are grief-stricken, overwhelmed by the sense that all has been said and done. A stone has sealed the fate of Jesus. But I was just really, like, for the Triduum, for me, I was really journeying with the women, mm-hmm. like the Marys, you know, the three Marys. And mm-hmm. I've been really thinking about all three of them. And I thought to myself, they were last at the grave and first at the tomb. Like, isn't that women? Mm-hmm. Last mm-hmm. at the grave and first at the tomb. Like, these are the women that stayed when everyone else left. And these are the women that came before anyone else came to the tomb. And just thinking about that. But I think one of the things I was most convicted is, it was like one of the themes of my personal retreat. Is like this last season of life has been a very hard winter, and now it is a new springtime. And that's what Lent means, is springtime. And mm-hmm. Easter is springtime. Like, even outside, it is springtime. But do I know how to live in springtime now? Like, I've really made my home in winter, really made my home in Holy Saturday and Good Friday. Do I know how to live out? Like, I love the author, Wendell Berry. One of the things he says is practice resurrection. Like, it's a mm-hmm. practice, you know? And I'm like, I need to learn how to relearn to live in the abundant life again and to practice resurrection and come back to life. The mm-hmm. winter has passed, spring has come, like it says in Song of Songs. And even though there's maybe like tears on my cheeks still, but to look up and look forward to the resurrection in my own personal life. So that's what just started out with me. What about you, Heather?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that no matter how many times we come back to the same scriptures, there's still new things to
Amen.
Discover. Like that is like the word mm-hmm. is living and active. And when we read it and invite the Holy Spirit to come and reveal things to us, new things are revealed. So mm-hmm. I just love that, especially about the Triduum, when you're entering deeply into all of the scriptures and salvation history. And there's just so much to be discovered. Like, again, anew, you know what I mean? It's like you've never heard it before. Like, there's certain things you're like, I know I've heard this 1,000 times, yet today it feels like mm-hmm. I'm hearing this for the first time. So I just love that about God's word. And I'm happy that we're going to dive into this today, because this particular topic of resurrection and death and grieving and how we have hope is, I think, something that is going to, we have to keep circling around, you know, until we allow the hope of Jesus's resurrection to become so tangible and real in our own hearts that we are able to maintain that through difficulty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about for you, sister? Mm-hmm. What struck mm-hmm. you initially? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I appreciate all the different facets that it's just so human, like what mm-hmm. What he's inviting us to encounter, because we can all relate to that, because he says in that one of the opening paragraphs that he talks about who Christ was to them. Like, you know, he, the life that came into the world, had been killed. He who proclaimed the merciful love of the Father had been met with no mercy. He who relieved sinners of the burden of their condemnation had been condemned to the cross. And that stone, right, an overwhelming obstacle, symbolized what the women felt in their hearts. It represented the end of their hope, now dashed by the obscure and sorrowful mystery that put an end to their dreams. And I'm like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. how often, all of us, I think all of us do, all of us have parts of our hearts that feel where the hopes that we have or had have been dashed by an obscure and sorrowful mystery that feels like an overwhelming obstacle that put an end to our dreams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think even we can kind of try to pseudo-intellectualize adult ourselves out of it by saying, oh, that was just a dream. That's okay. It's not a big deal. It didn't, you know, it didn't matter. It was just childish. I shouldn't have hoped. And I just don't believe that for a second. I just don't believe that for a second. And yes, God purifies our dreams. He purifies everything to bring it into his own glorious light, but he doesn't squash things and crush them and destroy them in that regard. He doesn't do that. And so just thinking for myself of, yeah, where are the places that I'm afraid to hope? Where are the places where it feels more comfortable living in the tomb, like where the tomb becomes very familiar and that becomes the place where I just hang out. Mm-hmm. I pitch my tent in the tomb and Christ goes into the tomb, but he comes out of the tomb. And our whole life, if it's really a Christian life, takes on the Paschal mystery. So there's always a suffering, a death, and a rising. But I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I more comfortable in my tomb? Where is that more like mm-hmm. home to me than life with Christ? Than walking through that with Christ. So I just appreciate that humanity. I appreciate that because we all have those places, no matter kind of what facade we wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, that line was, now dashed by the obscure and sorrowful mystery, they put an end to their dreams, you know, but mm-hmm. the stone and overwhelming obstacles. And it just made mm-hmm. me reflect, all right, what are the stones in my life right now? You know, what are the stones that I think are too big for the Lord to move? And he mm-hmm. says a couple sentences above that quote, it says, they anxiously wonder who will move the stone. And I was like, Lord, that's who I am. Yeah. Like, I anxiously wonder. But even for me, a season, like I've been always such a dreamer. And the last year and a half, there has just been no dreams. And it feels like there's mm-hmm. just a part of me that mm-hmm. is, you know, I'm making me tear up, like just stagnant. Mm-hmm. I think because the Lord's just really shown me, like, I can't dream without responsibility now, but I put the responsibility mm-hmm. on me instead of the responsibility on him. Because now when I think about mm-hmm. dreams, I'm like, okay, then if I dream this, what are all the details that have to have? And then it just totally wears me out. And mm-hmm. it's for me, I feel like it's almost safer not to dream than to dream, you know? And the Lord's like, okay, you have this all wrong. And he's really having mm-hmm. to go back and heal deep parts of me, where I think everything depends on me and not depends on him. Mm-hmm. It's like, I anxiously wonder. And I wrote back in the quote that I've said it on the podcast before, but it's by Monsignor Albacete. And I wrote it once again, and I put it on my bulletin. I have a bulletin board in my room that I put different spiritual quotes or scriptures on that I'm thinking about. And it's, the only temptation we face on this earth is the temptation to believe that God does not want to fulfill the deepest desires of our hearts.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And I'm just like, wow. Like, that's it. So there's something in me that mistrusts the Lord, that he will do what he says he will do. And then he will give me the desires of my heart. And I'm almost gone back and repented in just my own self-sufficiency of, like, I have to make my own dreams come true. But also that the Lord, there's a stewardship that he gives us. There's an anointing and calling that he puts on all of our lives. And it's not what we can do for him. It's what we can do with him. Mm-hmm. And there's a responsibility too, to advance mm-hmm. his kingdom. And he's like, all right, you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you, sis. Come on, practice resurrection and get up and dream again. So mm-hmm. yeah. Heather, what about you?
Yeah, that's so good. And yeah, I think that, that trusting in the promises of God, that he does not fail.
Yeah.
Like, his promises are true and good every time. And he will come through on his promises. He does not bail on his promises. And we don't have a category for that in our human life and in our human relationships. Like, there's always going to be people who fail us, you know, and we will fail other people and we will fail ourselves as a matter of fact, but that is not who God is. And so I think, I was thinking a lot about this lately, about how blind we become to who God is and to his promises, especially when we're in pain. You know, it's like that just disappears, like it evaporates. And we'll quickly go back to the three or four narratives that we have in our mind that explain situations. It's like, oh, well, that's because of this, you know, and this is always the theme of my life. And I'm like, no. Like, we can't keep going back to our narratives that are distorted because of our pain. Like, we have to go back to the narrative of God. And how do we do that? You know, so I'm like just trying to consume like so much of God's word on a regular basis, because I'm like, I want this to be the narrative that is like deeply embedded in my heart, so that when I experience pain, that's where I go. Like, that's the category that I pop into instead of these other places of woundedness. And I was thinking about Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb. And I'm like, how many times did she hear Jesus say, like, I am the resurrection and the life, and this is what's going to happen, and on the third day I'm going to rise? She heard everything, but in her grief, she couldn't see it. And she couldn't see him even as he's standing there, and she thinks he's the gardener. It's like all she's just so consumed by her grief in that moment that she can't even see that Christ is right there until he looks at her and calls her name, and she looks at him. You know, and that's the next part of this beautiful homily that Pope Francis wrote here, is that he talks about how we need to look up. We need to look up and see Christ. And I'm like, wow, if we can do that in the midst of our grief, that's when everything changes, you know, like that the real resurrection and life in the person of Jesus can be present to us in our suffering. And that changes everything. It actually really does. This isn't just an idea. Like, this is a real thing, a real experience that God desires us to have.
Yeah, it has to be real. And I appreciate that he says that. He says, there are times when we may feel that a great stone blocks the door of our hearts, stifling life, extinguishing hope, imprisoning us in the tomb of our fears and regrets, standing in the way of joy and hope. We encounter such tombstones on our journey through life and all the experiences and situations that rob us of enthusiasm and the strength to persevere. We encounter them in times of sorrow, in the emptiness left by the death of loved ones. We encounter them in the failures and fears that hold us back from accomplishing the good we mean to do. We encounter them in all the forms of self-absorption that stifle our impulses to generosity and sincere love. In the rubber walls, I love the rubber walls. I'm like, wow, this is so great. I'm like, of selfishness and indifference that hold us back in the effort to build more just and humane cities. And I mean, he goes on and he says, when we experience these disappointments, do we also have the sensation that all these dreams are doomed to failure, and that we too should ask ourselves in anguish, who will roll away the stone from the tomb? And I love that he says, anxiously wonder. And I know you guys have had these experiences too, where you're laying in bed at night or early in the morning, or you find yourself looking out the window and you're anxiously wondering, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, if this person says this, what am I going to do to stop that? If this happens, what am I going to do to circumvent that? Like, how am I going to get this done? And it literally is anxiously wondering, anxiously wondering. And I would, many years ago, I remember Father Benedict Groeschel, you know, one of the founders of the CFR community, I was listening to a talk he gave, and he said, have no plans, be led. And I was very struck by that. And I don't think he's saying like, don't take responsibility and just kind of do whatever, but that we're not trying to formulate things and get things to happen. We're being led by God. Like, we have plans, like we have ideas, we have hopes, we have dreams. Like, Lord, here they are. Here's what I'd like to see happen. Lord, here's what it needs to happen, or what I think needs to happen. But that's such a different spirit of me realizing and doing what I can, and then giving that to the Lord, versus me trying to anxiously figure it out or work it out. And I know the difference in my spirit. I'm like, oh my gosh, there I go. And I can be kind, like, okay, there I go again, like anxiously wondering, trying to figure it out. And then the Lord's like, oh, I love you so much. I want more for you than to anxiously wonder. You know, I want you to enter into my providence for you and my love for you. And yeah, and that's not like a nice romantic pious idea. Those are difficult things of like, okay, Lord, here I go again. Like, just bless me here, be with me here, and help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Sister, you share that with me in the middle of Lent this year, just to be led. And I just kept on thinking, and I've been thinking a lot about that, especially we just celebrated the Feast of Divine Mercy Sunday in the church. And just think about St. Faustina and her life and this little Polish nun and what the Lord asked her to do. And it was like, but if you ever read her diary, it's just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful, just her ups and downs and her trials, but her trust. her absolute trust of Jesus and her absolute trust in his mercy. And one of her, my favorite quotes that she said is, inspiration to the Holy Spirit is one of the quickest routes to holiness. Mm-hmm. It's just allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. And she says also in her diary, she says, in my interior life, I really like this because it's kind of my personality. But anyway, in my interior life, I never reason. I do not analyze the ways in which God's Spirit leads me. It is enough for me to know that I'm loved and that I love. Bottom line, mm-hmm. you know, and I just keep on just thinking about that. It's enough that he just leads me and trust in him. And it's what we've talked a lot about on this podcast is being little. And then Pope Francis goes on to say, like, he is the God of the impossible.
Yes, he is.
That he is the God that can do all things. He is the God that can restore. He's the God that raised things from the dead. And why is it that I can believe in some aspects or other people, some aspects of my own personal life, but in other people's life, but I forget in this situation that he can roll away a rock the tomb in my life. And so I'm like, okay, there's parts of me like, Lord, help my unbelief. This is where we come into where we ask him, Lord, I need the gift of faith. There's something in me receiving not the gift of faith in this area. Help me receive. Help my unbelief. This is where we ask because we have not. Mm-hmm. We ask like a little kid, like, Dad, help. Like, I need some help to believe that you can do what you say you can do and really trust in him and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead us in all the different things and all the different ways that we can't do ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's an enemy who's telling us a different story, and
Absolutely.
He's really obnoxious and he's really loud. And that's going to come through, you know, things in our mind and our heart, like ideas and thoughts and suggestions and stuff like that, that are from the enemy. And maybe even it's going to come through the voice of other people, like reasons to doubt and reasons to not believe the promises of God. We're going to hear that all around us. And that's why it's so important that we root ourselves in God's word. But this is also why I listen to a lot of worship music. Like, this has nothing to do with personal preference, whatever. Like, you can like traditional things, you can whatever. This, for me, when music like that is declaring truth in my day, I really need that. Like, talking about the promises of God, talking about how his resurrection power is alive in us. These are the things that help me just go, Satan, like, I will not believe your lies. Like, I'm just going to keep declaring like the actual truth instead of stewing in all of these suggestions that you're making to me. And we can all do that. We've all done that. We all do that at various times where it's just like, we get so overwhelmed by our fear, our disappointment, our grief. And we just stew in the enemy's voice. And I'm like, okay, get out of here. You know, like, it's time to like put on the armor of God and step up, girl. Women, you know, and start to fight off the enemy, because it's not just you with your own power. Like, truly, through our baptism, the resurrection power of Christ is in us. And the enemy has no place except for what we allow him to have. That's reality, you know? So I love this part here where it says, if we allow ourselves to be raised up by the risen Lord, no setback, no suffering, no death will be able to halt our progress towards the fullness of life. And right before that, he says, if we allow Jesus to take us by the hand, no experience of failure or sorrow, however painful, will have the last word on the meaning and the destiny of our lives. I'm like, amen, Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. Let's go, buddy. So good.
And yeah, that's so true. And he goes on from there, from the tomb, like what you're hinting at, Heather. He says, yet the same women who bore this darkness in their hearts tell us something quite extraordinary. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. This is the Pasch of Christ, the revelation of God's power, the victory of life over death, the triumph of light over darkness, the rebirth of hope amid the ruins of failure. It is the Lord, the God of the impossible, who rolled away the stone forever. Even now he opens our hearts so that hope may be born ever anew. We too then should look up to him, to look up. And isn't that true? We often focus on ourselves.
Yeah.
We focus on the stones in our life, whether maybe our stone is a person in our life or situation or finances or, you know, so it's we focus on that versus looking at Jesus. And Father Justin Brady, all of our dear friends, we've had him on a podcast a couple times, he was sharing with me that especially in the Easter season, there's a potency of the resurrection. And he said, the salutation that we used in Easter, that Christ is risen, alleluia, he is risen indeed, alleluia, he says, is our praise, is our boast, and our weapon.
Oof.
So he said, you can proclaim that over your life in any area as praise. Christ is risen, alleluia, he is risen indeed, alleluia. in the place of your boast, where you are weak, of like St. Paul says, I boast in my weakness. Christ, you've risen from the dead. You've risen indeed. Hallelujah. And as a weapon against the enemy, like what you're saying, Heather, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, he has risen from the dead. Amen. And I'm choosing to believe that. And he said, in this Easter season, there's a power and a potency to that that is life-changing. And I was like, amen, brother. Mm. So I've been practicing that every day in my life of like, just saying that small thing, Christ is risen, hallelujah. He's risen indeed, hallelujah. And just praying that over my life and the lives of other people. And that's the power of our faith. Like, that's not just nice, you know, wall hangings at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Like, come on, legit. That's like, so good.
Yes. Like, this is our life. And this is the power of Christianity. That's the power of our life.
Which, I mean, fits perfectly at the very—
put that on a mug.
Yeah. It fits perfectly at the last paragraph of this homily. Sister, brother, let your hearts burst with jubilation on this night, the holy night. Together, let us sing of Jesus' resurrection. Sing to him. Everything, sing to him. Rivers and plains, desert and mount, sing to the Lord. And he goes on to say, the man of sorrows is no longer in prison. He has opened a breach in the wall. He has hastened to meet you in the darkness. Let an unexpected shout of joy resound. He is alive. He is risen. Like, allow that joy that to come forth. But ooh, I love that. The power and potency of declaring that. Singing that resurrection song.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, anything else?
I mean, it just felt like such a powerful place to stop. Like, I was like, I don't know what else to say. That wraps that up.
We're just keeping it real, people. This is just how we are. We're like, well, that's the Holy Spirit's like, and stop talking. Okay. All right.
You're not going to add anything else to this conversation.
What you've said is sufficient. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. All right, dear friends, talk about what are our one things for this new Easter season. Heather, you want to talk about your one things?
Well, of course I have an Easter playlist. I saw this reel the other day that was like, guys have one playlist and it has like 385 songs.
I sent it to you.
That was so funny. And then I was like, women have one for every season, every occasion. I was like, that is so true. So anyways, I have an Easter playlist, which is all the joy, singing about the resurrection power. So if you need to get that on, get your praise on, and I will post that in the show notes. Also, I was thinking about the women who are getting ready to be married. This is the season. There's already a couple of young women I know who have gotten married. And as we're coming up to summer, I was thinking about Rachel Bulman's book called Becoming Wife. And it's Becoming Wife, saying yes to more than a dress. And I just love Rachel. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's so endearing. And she's very wise. So it's almost like sitting over a cup of coffee, just her sharing her wisdom. So we'll put that book in the show notes as well.
That's
Michelle,
awesome.
What's your one thing?
My one thing, I actually have it right here. I'm surprised, is Bria Hannon has written a new book, and I was able to endorse this book and read the preview, and I absolutely loved it. It's called Befriending Your Inner Child, A Catholic Approach to Healing and Wholeness. It is so good. It is really good. One of the books that I recommend, like besides Dr. Bob's Be Healed, it is going to be this book. She just gives lots of practicals, lots of stories. And yeah. And so this is just a really great healing resource to put in your toolbox. So Befriending Your Inner Child by Bria Hannon. And I'll post the link. Sister, what about you?
We should have her on the show sometime. She was so delightful. If you guys can hear her on the Restore the Glory podcast with Jake Kim and Dr. Bob Schutz, she's the second guest in their series on parts.
Yeah, we can post the link in our show notes.
So, yes. That whole series is so good with Dr. Jerry Crete, with Bria, and I think it's an Anglican bishop also on the show, is a dear friend of Dr. Bob's. That, like, it's kind of funny, the 3-part series on parts. It was just so good. That's great. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
And that's a good resource for our listeners that have asked us more about our interview with Father Boniface about internal family system in parts. If you want to go to that Restore the Glory podcast series, that gives more just clarity and definition to that. And so... So, sister, what about your one thing?
Oh, this is not my one thing, but it could be. So outside my window right now is a tree that's blooming and the leaves are coming back. And there's a whole family of birds right now eating the seeds and they're helping the leaves bloom. Oh, it's so beautiful. And they can't see me. So they're just happily perched eating seeds. And what? Oh, I'm like, I love springtime. So
listeners, she's like looking out her window right now with absolute delight on her face.
I wish you guys could see it. I can hear the birds actually right now. Yeah, like, oh, they're just so lovely. So, but my one thing is a book also, and it's a book written by Carrie Daunt. And the book is called Beloved Daughter. And it's a book for children. It's a little girl's book. And it's so beautifully written and so beautifully illustrated. It's published by their Heart of the Holy Family Publishing Company, which is something that Carrie and her husband Duane started themselves. This is such a beautiful, lovely book. It's a great first communion gift. It's a great gift for little girls. It's a great gift for grown girls. I've heard stories, and I've also had a dad tell me he was reading it to his daughter and he just started crying, like mm-hmm. reading it to his daughter, because it talks about the beauty of daughterhood and what it means to be precious in the eyes of God. And I think you really enjoy it. So Beloved Daughter by Carrie Daunt. And she herself, Dr. Bob's daughter, Carrie, she has 9 kids. She's a mama with 9 kids. And so she knows what that journey is like. So anyway, I'll put a link in there and I think you will totally enjoy that book. So anyway, friends, Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we just wish you a very happy Easter and the potency of this beautiful new season, that you would look up and see the stones rolled away in your life and Christ present before you. So until next week, we will be abiding together. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you liked it, would you please share it with a friend and leave us a review? We encourage you to head over to our website, abidingtogetherpodcast.com, where you can find all the show notes, links to our One Things, group discussion questions for each episode, and beautiful coffee mugs, t-shirts, journals, and prints in our shop. There you can also subscribe to receive our weekly email with links to each new episode and all of the content. We'd love to connect on social media and invite you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, so you can catch inspiring reflections every day. You're also welcome to join our private Facebook group and dive deeper into discussions with our fellow listeners. If the podcast has blessed you, would you prayerfully consider financially supporting us? The Abiding Together podcast is only available due to the generous support of our listeners. There are significant costs associated with creating this content, such as tech support, design, website, equipment, and hired staff that we need to be able to continue offering great content. Abiding Together is a nonprofit 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. You can make donations of any amount through the Patreon website, or you can send us a check directly if that's easier for you. If you donate $15 or more per month on our Patreon page, you become a tribe member, and you will receive bonus content every month, such as recipes, music playlist, downloadable prints, and more. You can find all the information at patreon.com/abidingtogetherpodcast. Thank you so much, and God bless you.